Thank the Lord for that song this morning, and God is still amazing me. I am so human sometimes. Have you ever just not maybe totally lost hope, but it just seemed, things just seemed impossible, and it just seemed like that things looked pretty bleak, and then the Lord just comes through and proves Himself, and then you look back and think, why did I doubt? Because how God has done it year after year after year. You know, we can look at the children of Israel and be critical of them, and the Lord does not want us to murmur and complain. We need to rise above that by His help. But the children of Israel were kind of back and forth. The Lord wants us to have a constant faith, but I don't even know why we're amazed by God anymore. Because we ought to be convinced in that He's a miracle-working God, but because we're human, He keeps amazing us. And I love the Lord this morning. I am thankful that He loves all of us. He's interested in each one of us this morning, and He wants to help us through the problems that we face in life. Written on the board, the barrel of meal wasted not. Obedience and provision. Like to, if you will, turn with me, and Brother Sean started talking about Elijah, so we're going to pick up with Elijah this morning in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. We're going to spend a little time this morning. Said Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand. Aren't you thankful the God of Israel is alive? There are a lot of people that are serving dead gods. They're praying to dead people. They are praying to institutions or prophets that used to be. Their lives are founded on a philosophy of someone that is dead and gone. But we serve a living God this morning. Told the young people this morning in Sunday school, for people that do not believe in God, for people that believe that something came from nothing, for people that believe in evolution, they have a lot more faith than I do. They have a lot more faith than I do. I believe in God. God is that source of something. God is the one that is timeless. And it takes more faith not to believe in God than it does to believe in God. You know that? It takes more faith not to believe in God. I don't think the world would couch it that way. But I believe in God, and I know all of us have faith of one kind or another, but God has proven Himself to be real over and over. And Elijah was testifying to Ahab, a man that had denied God. They turned to idolatry, and he was speaking about the living God. And he said, there will not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get thee hence and turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now, Elijah was one of the prophets of Israel. He was a prophet of consequence. He prophesied to a people that had turned their back on God. We're going to read this morning about how God provided for Elijah, some of the miracles that God worked for Elijah. Elijah was the one that had been fed by an angel. Remember that Elijah was running for his life, he thought, and he got discouraged. Elijah was human. The man of God who had seen miraculous things also had humanity. There are some that purport that Elijah was, there was some divinity to Elijah. Because we don't have record of where he, of his parents. And remember when Elijah died? Does anybody remember when Elijah died? Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire, remember? So there's no record that he ever died. But yet we know Elijah was human because he was discouraged and he sat down under a tree and says, I just want to die. This was the man of God who had seen lots of miracles. So if you've ever felt that way, you're human. And then the angel of the Lord came and fed him and woke him up and said, get up and eat. Eat of the divine cake that I've made for you over the fire. And Elijah ate it, met with the divine angel of the Lord, and he still wasn't real encouraged, and he laid back down and went back to sleep. Have you ever seen God minister to someone and you see him still discouraged and you think, why in the world? Look what God has done for them. Why would they be discouraged? Well, Elijah was discouraged and the Lord met with him, but the Lord didn't give up on him. Angel came and woke him up a second time and said, get up and eat again. And Elijah ate again, and it said he went on the strength of that cake for 40 days. That was something divine, wasn't it? So Elijah had gone through a lot. Elijah had was the one that kind of prodded the prophets of Baal when they were going to make sacrifice. They said, let's see who's serving the real God. You pray to Baal and I'll pray to God. And he was a little ornery with them when Baal didn't answer. They were calling down fire from heaven. And Baal was, he said, maybe your God's asleep or maybe he's on a journey. And it made him cry and dance and cut himself. And I'm sure there were some drums beating or something blowing at that time too. But you know, Baal never woke up. And then Elijah prayed in simplicity. There's nothing wrong with praying with emotion, all right? I want to make that clear. But some of the most powerful prayers that have ever been prayed have been pretty matter-of-fact prayers. You read about Elijah and he wasn't dancing or jumping over the pulpit or over the altar. He just prayed to the God that had proven himself so many times. And he said, God, would you prove that you're the real God? Would you send down fire from heaven? God answered that prayer and fire fell from heaven and consumed all those barrels of water that had been put over those sacrifices. And it was after that that Elijah started running for his life. You know, Elijah did quite a bit of running in life. He told Ahab here, it's not going to rain for a few years until I say it's going to rain. Now Ahab probably kind of scoffed at that possibly for a little while. But when you wake up in the morning and there's no dew on the ground, and after a few months of drought and no rain, you know, there's a season the rains don't come. And it's probable it might have been in that time. So I don't expect rain anyway, that's all right. But when the rainy season comes and it doesn't rain, you've got a problem. And so it was somewhere between 2.5 and 3.5 years. And I know in the New Testament talks about 3.5 years, but we're talking about timing, okay? So there's a period of 2.5 to 3.5 years that it did not rain. And there's a reason Elijah went into hiding. Because if someone told you, you're not going to earn any money until I say so. So, well, tomorrow maybe it was a bad day in the business, but you know, by the end of the week, by the end of the month, guess who you're going to be looking for? You're going to be hunting me up. And so Elijah went into hiding. And do you know God did not work a miracle there? God stopped the rain, but why did Elijah go into hiding? Have you ever wondered about that? Thought, well, why didn't God just blind the eyes of Ahab whenever his people started looking for him? Or why didn't he allow Elijah to stay wherever he was living? And God could have put a wall of protection around him, couldn't he? Do you know God does not always work miracles when he doesn't need to? I'd like us to get hold of that this morning. Sometimes we pray for God to work a miracle and God doesn't need to work a miracle. All right, Jesus, when they were out to stone Jesus, do you remember reading in the Gospels where it said Jesus slipped through the crowd and escaped? The Lord could have taken him up, and God could have taken him up, and he could have raised him up. He could have done something miraculous. God does not always choose to work through the so-called miraculous. And I think sometimes we are disappointed or disheartened when we don't see the miracles. God does not always need to work a miracle, folks. So Elijah went into hiding. All right? It said and the word of the Lord came to him saying, get thee hence. God told him to get out of there. So when God comes and tells us what to do, we don't always need to turn around and say, but God, if you worked a miracle, I wouldn't have to do that. Obedience, folks. When the Lord comes to you and tells us what to do, let's be obedient. The Lord said, get thee hence and turn eastward and hide yourself. God used human means to accomplish His purpose. Hide yourself. Well, Lord, why don't you hide me? No, I want you to do what I told you to do because I have a plan for your life. And so He said, hide thyself by the brook. Do you know why He went to the brook? Why did He go to the brook, Cherith? Because there's water, right? See, there was a drought. So go where there's water. It's like, well, Lord, why couldn't you just made water come out of the desert where I'm at and just provide for me that way? Because there's no need to work a miracle when there's a brook of water. You understand that? Lord, work a miracle. And have you ever heard the story about the man that was on the rooftop because of the flood? And the boat came by and said he was on the top of his roof of his house and the flood waters were up there. And he said, and the boat comes by and says, here, come on, we'll rescue you. He said, no, God told me He's going to rescue me. So the boat goes on, okay. Pretty soon the helicopter comes up to rescue the man. He says, oh no, he said, God's going to rescue me. I don't need to get on the helicopter. God's going to rescue me. And I think something else came along to help him out, and the man died. And he ended up in heaven. It's just a little story. Got up in heaven, stood there and said, Lord, He said, God, You told me You were going to save me. And God said, I sent a helicopter, and I sent a boat, and I sent someone else, and you refused Him. I sent three means to help you. Do you get the point? Why should God work a miracle when there's a brook Cherith? But we have to be obedient. He told them where to go. He told them what to do. And so the prophet went to Cherith. And it said, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. We're going to address that in a moment. So he went, Elijah went, and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and he told him what to do. Folks, if you want the Lord to provide for the needs in your life, we are going to have to be obedient to the word of the Lord. There are a lot of people looking to God to do something in their life, but they're not being obedient in every area of their life. They're saying, Lord, I've got a problem and why aren't you helping me? We need to stop at those times and say, have we been obedient to what God's told us to do? Have I been obedient? And sometimes, if I'm not being obedient in one area of my life, and I'm wanting the Lord to provide for me over here, and I'm being obedient with things over here, I begin to question God, Lord, something's wrong. Why aren't you doing what you told me? It's because of a lack of obedience in another place of my life. So if we want God to provide for us this morning, and I'm not just talking about meat and drink, I'm speaking spiritually, physically, in every way. If we want God to work in our life, we need to be obedient in every area. Because I find that we live in a society, even in amongst professing Christians, that they are obedient in some areas of their life. They will say, well, the Bible says not to do that, so I don't do that. But then, there are other things the Bible teaches that they're not being obedient to, and they're minimizing the importance of that. And they're wondering, then, why isn't God working? So, we need to be as Elijah and do according to the word of the Lord. He went to the brook Cherith, and there was provision that God had made. And folks, it was natural provision. You say, well, was it divine? It was divine that God had told them what to do. But it was a natural provision. There was no need to bring up springs of water in the desert because there was a brook for him to go to hide himself. Well, it said that ravens brought him bread and flesh, and God had been the ones that commanded the ravens to feed him. There is some controversy over what these ravens were. Now, I don't want to dispel necessarily, if you have a picture of in the Bible storybook of the birds bringing food, that would be okay. But I will put this out just for consideration. The word is in question. That Hebrew word that was translated ravens can also be translated as merchants or Arabians. People from Arab descent. And there were merchants in this area. And if you're a merchant, where are you going to make a stop in the morning and in the evening? By the water. And there's a man of God. And it's interesting, the Arabs have a real sense of hospitality. Come sit at my fire and eat of my food. And you may say, Brother Michael, they were birds. If you believe they were birds and that's all right. But do you know it's really not important? Do you know what's important? Is that Elijah was provided for. It's also just a little interesting side note that ravens were unclean beasts. And to eat of something from an unclean beast under the Mosaic law would have been contrary to the law. Yes? It was unclean. Has God used unclean things? Yes, He revealed it to Peter. But it was a change in the new covenant. And so the Lord very clearly demonstrated that. So, if it was ravens, it was a miracle. And if it were the merchants that came by the water at Cherith and gave to the man of God, that was still a blessing. But God still did what He said. You go to Cherith and I'm provided for you there. But you have to be obedient. So, if it was a bird, if it was a raven, we may not know till we die and get to heaven. If it was a raven, then so be it. God used an unclean beast, and Elijah ate unclean food that was contrary to the law of Moses. But nevertheless, he had something to eat. Amen? So it's alright, young adults, to read that story to your children and show them the picture in the Egermeyer storybook. That's alright. But the key for us to remember is that God provided for His prophet. All right? Now, let's move on. It said it came to pass. And you know, when God tells us what to do, sometimes things come to pass. You know what came to pass? It said it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And here's Elijah sitting at the brook Cherith, and it's like, Lord, he wakes up one day, and I'm sure it drizzled out. It probably happened over a period of time. He probably had to dig down in that spot to get water for a few days. But after a while, the next morning, he went and dug down and in the hole in the brook, and there was no water. Talk about discouraging when you are obedient to what God tells you to do, and the brook dries up. Now, if you've never been there, you young people, if the brook has never dried up when God told you to go there, one day it's going to happen, and it's discouraging. Because we're sitting there saying, Lord, I left everything I had to come to Cherith, and I've been in hiding, and I'm doing Your work and Your will, and You told me You'd provide for me, and the brook's dried up. And do you know what everybody around you will say? You know what? You just said God told you to do that. But the brook's dried up. Now you're going to still tell me God told you to do that? Folks, sometimes God will tell you to do something and the brook will still dry up. Just because the brook dries up does not mean that it wasn't God that told you to go there. Okay? You say, well, if God told me, surely people say, well, if God's in it, it's going to be blessed. Well, I hate to dispel something here, but not always. You will be blessed in your soul when you do what God wants you to do. But outwardly, you may just have some more hardship. Well, if God's in it, it's going to prosper. If it's not prospering, God's not in it. Does that mean every work of God that we do is going to be prospering? If you go visit someone and share the gospel with me, if they don't get saved, God didn't tell you to go because nothing good came from it. If you go and God told you to go do something and all you had was heartache and all you faced was opposition, then it wasn't really God that told you to do it. That's what the devil says. Just because God tells you to go to the brook and it dries up doesn't mean it wasn't God that told you to go there. Now these are just some, I hope, some just life lessons that we can gain from this story this morning. The brook dried up, and it would be easy to think, I messed up. Has anybody else besides me thought that before? I'll tell you what, there's been a few times in my humanity, if I would have known the brook was going to dry up, I wouldn't have gone to the brook. I would have been looking for another source. Is that too human of me? That's why God doesn't tell us the brook's going to dry up. I want you at Cherith. Do what I told you to do, and you leave the future to me. Saints, just because we are obedient to the Lord does not mean everything in our tomorrows is going to go just like we want. The brook might dry up, but if God says go to the brook, go to the brook. And when you are obedient, you will find the presence of God. He's going to take care of you. But nevertheless, the brook dried up. It came to pass that the brook dried up. And I am really thankful the story does not end there. The key here is that we need to be open to the plan of God. All right? We need to be open to the Lord's will. Because verse 8 says, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, did God change his mind? Lord, I thought you told me to come to Cherith. Lord, make up your mind. Do you want me in Cherith or do you want me in Zarephath? Or, oh, Lord, what do you want me? Folks, God's will for your life today is not necessarily the same as His will for your life tomorrow. Okay? Sometimes we put God in a box and we tell God, but Lord, you told me to come here. Yes, that was yesterday. Today, I'm saying, the brook's dried up. I've still got a plan for your life. Folks, if things don't work out, it doesn't mean God has forsaken you. If things don't turn out like you wanted, it doesn't mean the Lord has forgotten you. Just maintain the status quo until the Lord comes again and tells you what to do. Sometimes when the brook dries up, people get anxious. And they think, we've got to do something, so I'm going to do something. Folks, until the Lord tells you to get up and move, stay right where you're at. Until the Spirit of the Lord clearly reveals His plan for your life, maintain the status quo. There are a lot of things that happen in life that I know sometimes that hardships come. I know sometimes things happen in life and we think, okay, we have to do something. And we make major life-changing decisions out of our human emotions rather than the plan of God being fulfilled in our life. So when major events happen in your life, if you're feeling discouraged, I've got some advice for you this morning. Maintain the status quo in obedience. If you are doing what God told you to do, don't change just because you're fearful. Or just because you think, I've got to do something. God still has a plan for your life. And so the word of the Lord came again to Elijah. And I'm so thankful the Lord still is doing that today. Alright? Elijah, this is my plan for you for a few weeks or a few months. But now the brook's dried up. And I want you to get up and go to Zarephath. And you know what Elijah did? He got up and he went to Zarephath. He could have said, nope, I'm staying right here. The Lord told me to come to Cherith. Have you ever seen someone stubborn spiritually? Nope, the Lord told me to.
I'm not changing. God told me. And do you know when we say God told us, who can argue with you? I have people say that before. Well, God told me. All right, discussion's over. I don't think it was God, but they do. They said, God told me. And you know, we need to be careful about accusing God for something and saying God told us just to let everybody else know, don't argue with me. Don't show me where my plan's wrong. And so we pull God into the picture to make us kind of, you know, prop up our decisions. If God told you, it's fine to say God told you. And folks, God tells me things too. There have been times in my life I did not know what to do, and we were praying and seeking. And if you would have asked me, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. And 5 minutes later, I could have said, God spoke. As clearly as you're hearing my voice this morning, God spoke clearly and distinctly, and I knew His will. I didn't know what was going to come of it, but I knew what He told me to do. Wait for the sound of the Spirit of God in your life. Don't make major decisions based on your perspectives. Folks, wait for the Word of the Lord to come. But when it comes, let's be obedient. And so, he arose and went to Zarephath. Simple obedience. Well, Lord, what's going to happen when I get there? Elijah, it's not yours to know what's going to happen. I want you to get to Zarephath. I've got a plan. Do you know the Lord has a plan for all of us this morning? But the problem is, if I knew what God's plan was for me 1 year from today, do you know what I would start doing by nature of my personality? Some of you would probably kick back and say, oh, I got a year. Maintain the status quo. Don't need to worry about a thing. And that's just your personality. My personality would be, God's plan next year is for me to do that. Let's just do it now. Let's just make plans. Let's pack up. Let's get ready and let's go do it now. And Lord's saying, no, that's for next year. There's a reason God doesn't tell us all the time what He wants us to do next year. Granted, if God told me to wait, I'd wait by the help of the Lord. But I want us to understand there's a reason why God doesn't always give us the details. He wants us to be obedient today. Maybe next year there's something else, but if you get your eyes on next year, you know what's going to happen to the things God has you doing today? You're going to start slacking, right? What would happen, Darren, if you said, okay, next year I'm shutting my business down, it's over. Go to work today and think, yeah, I'm closing down anyway, it's not that important. You know, stop marketing. You know, the job wasn't maybe done 100%, but you know what, I'm going out of business anyway. And we would start doing that. The fields that you planted, you say, you know what, the weeds, it's not that important to get all the weeds out because I've just got one more season. So it's not that important. We start slacking. We do that with the will of God if we knew it. That's why God has a future plan for your life. But He wants us being obedient today. Are you doing what God wants you to do today? Or do we get so occupied with the future that we start being disobedient? Okay, so Elijah got up. He arose and he went to Zarephath. And you know, there God had provided a widow woman that had a need. Let's read. He rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Do you know, in a sense, in our society, that sounds a little forward. Here's this woman that is about to die. And the man's telling the woman, provide for me first. But you know, there's a lesson here. The scripture said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things would be added unto you. Folks, the temporal things of life are important. But are we putting God first? We want provision. We want God to take care of us. But are we putting God first? Had someone recently that had a desire to start supporting the mission work. And on the bottom of his monthly check, he's writing two words.
life insurance. Think about that one. This is my life insurance. There's other places he could put the money, but I want to put God first. He told me on the phone, he said, I'm kind of doing an experiment. I really hope it works out for him. It's a blessing to the mission work. But he said, you know, the saying is you can't outgive God. I'm going to see if that really is true. I'm going to see how that works. He said, because the last couple of years, he said, it actually has been working. You keep up your life insurance. Put God first. And that's what I think the lesson here is. This widow woman that was about to die and was making her last meal, she went and she gave to the prophet of God first. And then see what God did. Let's read. He said, bring me thither, I pray thee, a morsel of bread. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I've not a cake. This was her response. I just have a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. In other words, I would, but we're going to make a little meal and we're going to die. It's over. But do you know the Lord had a plan for that widow woman just like He did Elijah? Do you know that your obedience, saints, listen, your obedience might make a life difference in someone else that God places in your pathway. Your obedience might be the salvation of someone else. Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first. That's kind of a hard saying. But saints, that's one of the messages I believe the Lord wants us to get this morning. Obedience and provision. Go give to me first. Go give to me first. That's what God was saying in essence. That's our lesson. Be obedient to what God wants you to do in your life. And God's going to take care of you. Hasn't He done it in the past? We could all spend a long time here, couldn't we? We have a lot of temporal testimonies, physical healings, spiritual things that God has done. So Lord, help us to be obedient and to say yes when You tell us what to do, and God's going to take care of us. So the widow woman went, and she did as Elijah had asked her. And this is what Elijah said. He said, the Lord God of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. And that's what I've written on the board. The barrel of meal wasted not. He said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain. And she went and did. She obeyed. This is repeated over and over in this chapter. She went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal, what? It wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah. Isn't that a blessing? They did what God said to do. God did not work a miracle at the brook of Cherith. He used what was there. But now there's a need for a miracle. And God worked a miracle. Can you imagine having a little, just a little bit of oil? Little bit of oil and a little bit of meal, and every day you go in and you just keep getting out and you always have enough for one more cake. You always have enough for one more loaf of bread. You always have enough. How did that happen? It was a miracle. Because God said, I have provided a widow woman. And so Elijah was obedient. Elijah went and said, go make me a cake. I'm going to die. He said, go do it anyway. She put God first. And she lived because of obedience. God provided for not only the prophet, but for others that he was around. Folks, I am so thankful this morning. I just want to encourage you as we leave here today. The barrel of meal wasted not, and I have found that it still is not wasting. There's still more. There's more in that barrel, folks. It's not going to run out. But what we are called to do, is to be obedient. Sometimes, have you ever prayed telling God what He needed to do? Anybody besides me kind of, Lord, we need this and this and this is how. And then God doesn't do what you asked, and we're disappointed. And God sent them there saying, I met the need, but I did it very different than you prayed about, but I took care of it. I provided for you. Let's be careful about putting God in the box, folks. We don't know what's going to happen to Cherith. We don't know what's going to happen at our Zarephath, but what we know is God was there. So I want to be where God is. And I don't want to be disappointed when God works differently. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Have you ever made a decision based on what you thought tomorrow held? And then you realize it didn't work out? But we are so pressured sometimes to make decisions today based upon what we think might happen tomorrow. And if the veil were drawn back this morning and we could actually see what was going to be 5 years down the road, do you know, I believe in a lot of areas in our life, it would be easier to submit to the Lord today. Okay, Lord, so things are going to work out for me in 5 years? Okay, Lord, then just help me to be faithful right here today. But if you're at Cherith and the brook's dried up, don't move. God's going to provide for you. But if the word of the Lord comes and tells you to get up and make a change, get up and go to Zarephath. And you know what? There may come a time that the Lord came along at Zarephath and said, Elijah, this is what I want you to do now. Let's be obedient. We're not going to finish. If you want some homework, you can finish yourself. Continue reading in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, and you will find that that widow woman that was obedient to the Lord, her son died. Lord, I'm doing what you wanted me to do, and now something bad has happened in my home. And then God came on the scene and worked another miracle. And Elijah went and lay down on that dead son 3 times. And he was brought back to life. And she was persuaded, this God is real. You mean you didn't know he was real every day when you went and kept getting that milk? She was human too. But folks, the barrel of meal is still wasting not. So you put God first and God's going to provide for you. And I thank God for the reality of that in my life. And it's an encouragement to me to know that the Lord is going to be in our tomorrows, but let's obey Him in our todays. Amen.